To be rich has nothing to do with prayer. That's why unbelievers are rich. They don't pray. Hello? Now, if I now lay hands on him and tell him that he can drive, I have deceived him. I've given him false hope. You see, I'm going to come back to the person and principle of Jesus. Please wait. Don't go. Now, listen. Oh, mercy, Lord. There's a difference between the person of Jesus and the principles of Jesus. The person of Jesus is a physical human being that came from heaven, came into this world, he lived among us, he died, and he's gone back to heaven. That's the person. The principles of Jesus are the messages he preached, the things he taught, the principles he taught us to practice while he was here. Now listen. What has happened is the fact that as Christians, we are so enchanted by the person of Jesus. Because the church is no more teaching. Everybody is now preaching. So what we see is we now receive Jesus, but we ignore his principles. But you see, the person of Jesus does not prosper you. The person of Jesus gives you peace and eternity with the Father. It is the principles of Jesus that give you heaven here on earth. So what has now happened is that we that are born again, we have embraced the person of Jesus. We have the peace of God. We are on our way to heaven, but we are going through hell on the way to heaven. Why? Because we have ignored his principles. But the unbelievers reject the person of Jesus. They embrace the principles of Jesus. So they are rich and wealthy. So they are going through heaven on their way to hell. Yes, they will go to hell, but right here they are enjoying heaven. Yes, you are going to heaven right here. You are going through hell. But God wants you to have heaven on earth and heaven in heaven. So we need to realize that there is the need for a balance there. So this young man, if he comes to church and I anoint him to go and drive, what I should tell him is, in the name that is above every name, as I anoint you, I'm releasing grace over your life. Everything you have not been able to do before, you need to do it now. So as I anoint you, I want you to go to the driving school tomorrow and enroll and go and learn driving, because before the end of this year, you should be driving. And as you learn driving, I'm praying that the favor of God will give you a car. Go in Jesus' name. I've done it accurately. I've told him I'm anointing you to give you grace, because you could have learned before now, but there was no grace to do it. Now I've prayed for you. You have received grace. Go and work it and make it happen. Are you getting that now? Now let me help you understand. You're a medical doctor. So when you went to school to study medicine, were you people reading Bible in the class?
No, sir.
Okay. Were you doing prayer meeting in class?
No.
Was it night vigil that you do your lectures?
No, sir.
Okay. The textbook you were reading, is it Genesis, Revelation, Exodus?
No,
okay. The lecturers, were they bishops and pastors and apostles?
No.
So even some of the lecturers did not even believe in God. And you sat down, you listened to them. Some of the books are not godly books and you read it.
Yes.
And after giving yourself to that information, how many years? 5 to 7 years? 6 years. So for 6 years, you gave yourself to a particular set of information over and over again. And after 6 years, you came out. You became the lecturer. You don't carry textbook to the hospital anymore now. You have become the textbook. Because you gave yourself to that information consistently. Now you have now become a doctor. You can become money. Do you understand now? So when, for someone, I am money. As you see this, I'll be money. So as I'm here, money, as I am money moving around. Why? Because I have given, so he is a doctor. I am a money. Why you say you are a pastor? What, you are a pastor because you have been called and you have given yourself to it, so you become a pastor. So when you give yourself to information, that information has now made him a medical doctor and people are now paying him for that. Do you understand? So whether he's born again or not is irrelevant. He will make money. Now carry that into the church. Why do you now think that because you are born again, you should not read books anymore? You should not read your Bible. You are now coming to church looking for one pastor to give you anointing, to give you communion. You are fooling yourself. The pastor is fooling you. You are all foolish. Because even Jesus himself will be wondering, what is all this nonsense? But that's what we do. We come to church and say, there is a witch in your village. There is a generational curse. We are breaking that curse. Curse know the end. Won't the curse come to an end? They have been breaking curses over your life for 15 years. The curse has still not finished. Something is wrong somewhere. Do you understand that now? So for you to be able to drive, they say, yeah, we'll pray for you. But you need to go and learn. Do you understand that? You need the information. So if you want to prosper, God bless you. When God says, I've given you power to get wealth, that's what he's saying. He said, I've given you all the information you need to make money. If you now use the information, it's your business. If you don't use it, it's your business. Now, the pastor has just announced a book. God bless you. God bless you. The pastor has just announced one of my books. Now, this book is $50. There's a CD there. There's a DVD there. Now, listen. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. And that translation says, do everything you can to get information. And when you get it, don't let it go for anything. Now, listen. $50 is what some of you will use to eat lunch today with your family after we finish. You go to the restaurant. You drop $5 offering. And then you go to the restaurant and spend $50. Now, when you hear that this book is $50, the first thing that comes to say, hey, that's expensive, $50. But if you go to medical school now, your textbook is $120. You go to law school, your textbook for law is what? It's $180. Some books are even $250. But you buy it because you are in school. Now, this is the school of money. But because you are a Christian, you are like, ah, is he not a pastor? How can a Christian book? It's not a Christian book. It's money book. There is no scripture there. It's not. It's a money book. So the same way you buy textbook of $120, this book at $50 is actually the cheapest textbook. This is a complete master's degree in money, in print. But you know what? If you think knowledge is expensive, try ignorance. It will cost you more. You know what we have done? Many of us, we empty, are you ready? We empty our purse into our stomach. And then it goes back through the backyard. But if you empty your purse into your mind, you can create generations. Hello? When I came in this morning, I was so excited. As the pastor was taking me around, he did something that was, he just excited me. I said, oh, thank God. Why? If he had not done it, I would have asked him. He was taking me around and he said, this is going to be the bookstore. That's the first thing he showed me. He said, this will be the bookstore. Once you enter, I said, oh, thank God. My brother is still intact. If he has taken me around without showing me, I would have said, is there no bookstore? I would have asked him. Why? Because you go to some churches, the restaurant is bigger than the bookstore. They feed the people's tummy. They don't feed their mind. And they wonder why things are the way it is. Hello? So number one, when he says, I've given you the power to get wealth, it means I've given you the knowledge and the information to produce what you need. So you go around getting knowledge, getting information, and using it. Number two, when he says, I've given you the power to get wealth, what does it mean? It means I've given you choice. There are 10 of them. I'll just give you like 5 and we'll close. You get the rest in the book. You know, you didn't pay for this one. It's a free seminar. Hello? So the second one is what? It's your choice. He said, I set before you life and death. You told me that. I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. He said, choose life that you may live. Now listen, anything you are experiencing today is your choice. You can rationalize it however you want. Whatever you are experiencing today, wherever you are today, whatever state of life you are experiencing today, it's your choice. You know why? We are all products of our choices. The choices you made yesterday are the results you are seeing today. The choices you make today are the results you will see tomorrow. So if you don't like your results, change your choices. Oh, my husband is bad. No, you married him. My wife is bad. You married her. No, they didn't force her. That you saw her, you proposed to her, and you married her. It was your choice. So whatever came with that choice, you have to accept it. It's part of the package. Do you understand that now? So when God says, I've given you the power to get, it means I've given you the choice. I've given you the ability to make choices and make decisions that will help you to become better than what you are. If you really sit down and think about it, really, many of you, at this stage of your life, you have come to a place where you have said this to yourself and you will agree now. If I know what I know now, I will not do what I did. How many of you have ever said that to yourself? You know what? That is a validation of the fact that you are where you are because you made the choices. Because as at the time you were making those choices, you did not know better. But now that you know better, Instead of now making better choices, you know what some people do? They spend their ability to make a choice mourning over the bad choices of yesterday. Instead of now making better choices for tomorrow. So when God says, I've given you the power to get, it means I've given you the choice to be wealthy. Listen and listen well. Every year, every season of your life, different things come that you need to make a choice about. But have you made the right choice? I'm not sure, except maybe for the children, that there is anybody here that does not believe it is right to save money. But do you save? Everybody here, as long as you are mature, you know that it's good to save money. You know it. Nobody, it's not a special revelation. You know you need to save, but do you save money? Why have you not made a choice to save money? Because you have made a choice not to save by believing the lie that you told yourself. That it's not easy to save. So you come up with all kinds of stuff. Whereas, there is nobody forcing you to save. Now, the same you that have not saved, the same you that cannot gather money for investment, when there is something that is going to eat that same money, you will produce money. When somebody dies now, money will show up. Money will show up for burial, it will show up for wedding, it will show up for all kinds of things. The same money you say you don't have, when it's now time to waste the money, you will have the money. If there is a new phone in town now, I think they are doing the wristwatch now. Is it iPhone? There is one now that is wristwatch. So you can make, that's the one, you know, these guys are making their money. But you now want to be in vogue. Many of you have changed your phone now in the last 4 years, 5 years. You keep changing. Everything that is in vogue, you keep changing. You are making a choice to be a consumer. You are making a choice to be a waster, not an investor. And those choices you have made, the accumulation of the wrong choices is what leads to the poverty we have seen today. Number three, so that I can give you five. When he said, I've given you the power to get wealth, it means I have given you the opportunity to produce money. I've given you the opportunity to become rich. Now, listen and listen well. Life is all about opportunities. I'm about to make some very important statements. Note it. It's very powerful. Are you ready? It is better to be prepared, waiting for opportunities, than for opportunity to come and meet you unprepared. It is better to be prepared, waiting for opportunities, than for opportunities to come and meet you unprepared. Now, listen and listen well. Everyone sitting down here, except for probably the children, if you look back at your life, you will realize that there were some opportunities that came that if you are taking advantage of them, you will not be where you are today. But why did you not take advantage of them? Number one, you were not prepared. Number two, you did not even know that there were opportunities. Number three, you abused it. Or number four, so a lot of reasons. So you need to understand that when God says, I've given you the power to get wealth, it means I've given you the opportunity to do what? To produce wealth. So from time to time, God brings opportunities into our life. The race is not for the swifts. The battle is not for the strong. Bread is not for the wise. Riches not for men of understanding. But time and chance. That's opportunity. Time and chance. He has given all of us equal time. And then he gives us chances, opportunities. And that transition says, it's about being in the right place at the right time. So when God says, I've given you power to get to, it means I've given you the opportunity to make money. So when an opportunity comes, maximize it. Maximize it. And this particular platform of opportunity became a reality to me in 1999. Like I told you, I came into a place of frustration in 98 and a lot of things happened. I traveled to the UK for the first time in 1997. I went and came back without anything. And I went to some churches, I preached, and they gave me flowers. Some of them gave me, you know, a little card. We appreciate you, and that's all. So, 98, same thing. And I'd written a lot of books. And I'd been going to the UK, and I did not understand what I'm about to talk to you about. But in 1999, I believe, I went to the UK, and I had been to a lot of stores, probably about 20-something stores all over the UK, introducing my books to them. So I get that, say, oh, I'm a pastor from Nigeria, these are my books. So I went around. Every store that I went to rejected my book, every one of them. They said, oh, sorry, we don't know you. It has to be from your publishing house. Or, oh, we need to read it. The management have to decide. Oh, the quality is not good. All kinds of reasons. They all rejected me. But out of the over 20 stores that I went to, about 14 or 15 of them asked me the same question in different ways. And what was the question? Oh, sorry, but can you bring us Bishop So-so and So's book? Can you bring us this person's cassette? They all asked me the same question, but I was so blinded with the fact that I went there to sell my books and I was rejected that I did not hear them asking those questions. I heard, but I didn't hear. So in my mind, I was like, what's all this nonsense? You mean we'll serve all these people in Nigeria, come to London and be serving them again? So instead of selling my own book, I'll be selling one man's book. Am I now a bookseller? I didn't see any opportunity there. I saw slavery. So I went through all that, and then I left. And guess what? I borrowed the money that I used to buy the ticket. So now I'm on my way back to Nigeria, a pastor. And I'm owing money, and there is no money to pay the people I'm owing. So I was now at the airport, frustrated again. God, why? We all these men of God that tell us they went abroad and they came back. Where is it? Are they lying? Where is the money? All this, I don't understand. Why am I going back? God, I'm tired. Let me just sit down with my work in Nigeria. And God said something to me very quietly. He said, but my son, you are very foolish. I said, ah, foolish. Why did you say? You know, I wrote a book. Are you a fool? A question or an insult? No, foolishness is not, it's not an insult. It's a, are you a fool? It's a question. It's not an insult. Are you a fool? Yes or no is the answer. So if you read your Bible, you discover that many of us are foolish. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Anger lies in the bosom of a fool. Many of you have been angry today alone on Sunday morning. Are you not a fool? Hello? So if you look at the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Many of us are foolish. So God told me, my son, you are a fool. I said, why, sir? Fool as what? He said, upon all the encounter you have gone through, now it's time to practice it. You are still failing. I said, what? He said, everywhere you went to, I gave you an opportunity to become a distributor. But you were so concerned about being a supplier. I said, God, what do you mean by that? He said, do you think it's everywhere that people will go to that they will see them for the first time and tell them, can you supply us? He said, that was an opportunity. Like he said, you were so blind about selling your own book. He said, I closed that door so that you can see this other side because I want to prosper. That's an opportunity to be a distributor. I said, okay, I get it. Okay, so when I supply them, that's true. I will buy, I will add profits, and I'll be making money in foreign currency. Ooh, that one is even better than love of real. Ah! I did not see it. To cut a long story short, before I left the airport that day, I tried calling all of them. I was able to get about 9 of them. So I said, sorry, you said if I get this person's book, how does it work? They said, tell us when you are coming. Now listen, tell us when next you are coming. We'll place our order. You will bring it for us and we'll pay you immediately you come or pay you before you leave if you are staying for a while. My people, that's how I started selling books, selling products in the UK. Now listen. All the people I came to supply, when I landed with 16 big bags, big massive raffia bags, they call it Ghana must go, 16. I was at the airport for like 4 hours. Something to declare. I wanted to pass nothing to declare. That's when I knew that declaration is in levels. They said, no, you have to pass this place. I was there for like 4 hours, scrutinizing. So, cut a long story short, I went there. But guess what? Every of the bookstore I went to, when I supplied them this book, they said, hey, so that's your own book. Add 5 copies. None of them rejected my book. Not one. Your pastor is a witness. My book was all I was. When you mentioned Olumide Emmanuel in London, when it comes to selling books from 1999 to 2004, everybody knows me. That's how I became a major supplier of products in the UK. And guess what? I bought my first house in partnership with someone in 2003, cash, in UK. I bought another house in the same UK, £200,000, cash. I paid cash in UK. Now, listen. I have houses in America worth over $1 million. Not one, not two, not three. So I'm not a poor man. This one is not taste by moonlight. Do you understand now? My house is here is worth over a million cash. I don't do mortgage. And I'm also a pastor. But I did not get the money by love offering. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the opportunity I saw, I said, wow. The real estate right now, my real estate company is worth about $14 million. $14 million. And I started without any money at all. No money at all. Just this integrity thing. Nothing. So when we are talking about power, it means I've given you opportunity. Do you know that many of your opportunities have come your way and you have let it go? Somebody comes to me, ah, pastor, hey, please, I would like to buy a car. Now, you saw me. You know I'm a pastor. You are not telling me you want to buy a car. Am I a car dealer? When somebody comes to ask you that question, what it means is that God knows you are not a car dealer, but he wants to bless you. So he has allowed the person to come and ask you so that you can be a middleman and make some money. So when somebody comes, it's just Google. It's very simple. Okay, what do you say? So, hey, no problem. I can help you get it. So I'll just tell me what you want. I'll get it for you, and then you'll pay commission. And that's it. But many people, there's nothing I don't do. I'm a general merchant. Why? Because I now know that opportunity is money. So when God says, I've given you power to get to him, he says, I've given you opportunities. People will come and say, oh, sorry, I don't do that. That's not my area. Ah, you have rejected money. Anything that people come to ask you about is your area. God has decided to bless you from that area. Even if it's $3,000 that will come from there, let it come and you continue. How can you say you are not? Somebody wants to buy a car, they call you from Nigeria. I would like to buy a car from. Say, no, I don't sell car. I'm a registered nurse. I do nursing. No, you are a car dealer. Why did they call you? Don't they know you are a nurse? They called you because God wanted you. You said, no problem. So what kind of car? Send me the email. Then you call the car and say, I've got somebody that sells the car. I will help you go there. I will travel to the auction. Then you set the date. Then you make your money. Say, my own administrative charge. No, you don't need to tell lies. You put it there, admin charge. Simple. Let me tell you, see, I was still telling Pastor, I said, no, all is well, that my life is moving fine, that I don't do church. He said, I only came here to visit him. I would have been here since Friday, just chilling out. But another friend said, ah, please, you are in town. Come and speak for us. That's why I came in this morning from the airport. Because somebody else hijacked me. I just came to share with my brother, just have fun. Why? Because I go to speak in places. What are you talking? This one. No, I don't do church. Because you see, when you come to church, freely you have received, freely give. Hello? Counseling is free. But consultancy attracts a fee. Where there is a voice, there is an invoice. So when I go to church, I'm a missionary. I just come to be a blessing. But when I go out there, I make my money. All these things I'm sharing with you now, these are things that you will pay business class. Then we'll charge people like $750. And then me, I will charge like $10,000 per hour. And then we'll have a weekend retreat. And when I come, I will speak different English from this one. Ah, I won't dress like this. Nice, heavy suit. And I will come and say, well, good morning, everyone. My name is Olumide Emmanuel. I'm the CEO of the Common Sense Group. It's nice to have you around. Well, I like this class to be very interactive. And I like us to get to know each other. So let's just introduce ourselves. Tell me who you are, what you do. By the time all of you introduce yourself, 30 minutes or 1 hour is gone. So, okay, now we need to go for a tea break and we'll back for the next session. Then when we come for the next session, I will use PowerPoint so that I'll be very slow. So PowerPoint, so well, pam. Well, we're going to be looking, having an overview of what we're going to be sharing today. So we're going to be looking at understanding the power to get wealth. We're going to be looking at definitions. Then we're going to be looking at implications. And then by the time we do that, I say, well, what do you understand by power? Can you please tell me? So I'll start interviewing you. You will be the one talking by yourself. Another 1 hour is gone. Tea break. Then by the time we come for the toss, so before you know it, I hope you are getting it. So when you say I've given you power, it means knowledge, it means choice, it means opportunity. Number four, it means gifts, talents, and potentials. Gifts, talents, and potential. Think of any rich person you know. Any rich person you know, think. And you will realize that they are all using their gifts, their talent, and their potential. Gifts, talent, and potential. Now, I'm about to make some powerful statements. Note it. It's very powerful. Your gold is tied to your gift. Your treasure is tied to your talents. Your profit is tied to your potential. Your gold is tied to your gifts. Your treasure is tied to your talent. Your profit is tied to your potential. Everything that the spider needs to spin a web is inside the spider. Spiders don't go to the market to buy anything. Everything you need to become who you need to become is already inside you. You only need to identify it, develop it, and deploy it. So when God says, I've given you the gift, the talent, and the potential, it means I've put inside you everything you need to become what you need to become. But you know the problem? Instead of discovering what we have and developing it by education, what we do is that we look for things that we are not, thinking that is what we should be. Now, you are supposed to go to school to develop what you have discovered. But because of the kind of environment many of us grew up in, we grew up in an environment where people want us to go and study a course that will add a prefix to our name so that you can be a doctor, lawyer, barrister, engineer, architect. And when you tell your parents, I want to do this, they will say, no, you can't do that. All I owe you is education. All I owe you is education. And now you have the education and there's no money. Because having a PhD in swimming technology does not make you a swimmer. So you have gone to the school, now you have a master's degree in business administration, and you cannot run one business successfully. Do you understand now? Why? Because you went to school to learn the theory, but you did not learn practical. So you are like a professor of swimming technology that cannot swim. So you have a lot of people now that have a master's degree in business administration. Oh, they are doing PhD in economics. Let me ask you a question. How many economic professors do you know that are millionaires? No, think of it. Tell me one professor of economics. All the university you went to, your dean of economics, your professor, are they rich people? They are all salary earners. They are slaves. But they are teaching you economics. They are teaching you. How many of them have run one business before? No, ask yourself. All the people that teach you economics and business administration in school, when you get to school, if you are still in school, ask your lecturer, sir, have you done any business before? And they tell, oh, no, I'm not a businessman. I'm an academician. You know why? They are theoretical people. They don't even understand what's happening out there. They are just telling you what they read in textbook. The textbook itself has expired. So some of the books that are easy to teach you was written in 1960. Are we still in 1960 education? Do you understand? So a lot of people go to school, but they don't know how to survive out there. They don't know. So your gift, your talent, your potential is what you're supposed to use to do what? To create wealth. So what is your gift? Many of you are sitting down here right now. You can cook. Very well. When people come to your house, they eat, they enjoy themselves, but you have never thought of starting a restaurant. Why? You always think of the reasons why you cannot have a restaurant. And you'll be telling yourself, restaurant, how many Africans do we have? Must you start African restaurant? That's where the problem starts from. You are already settling that it must be African restaurant. Can't it be another? Can't you bring, you have Mexican restaurant, you have Chinese restaurant, you have African, can't you bring your own and be a combination of all? Do you understand? I was sharing with someone that came to see me, and she told me she does what they call moin moin in Nigeria. What do you call that? Beans. It's still moin moin, okay. Yeah. Now, and she was telling me that things are not moving too fast. And I said, you know what? I say, have you ever seen a colored moin moin before? A moin moin that has a different color from the color you have. She was like, I said, do you know that people are becoming more health conscious? And it's just a little tweak of psychology and you can shift the market. And she was looking. I said, have you thought about garlic moin moin? Yellow colored moin moin? You know, have you thought about aloe vera moin moin? Have you thought? You know, I said, because all you need to, I say all these things, the people you call chemists, they are people that study the same natural plants and find out what are the chemical composition. And they use science to decide whether it is edible, usable, or used for the body. So you can sit down and say, okay, Oliver, what are the components? I said, before you know it, that's how things change. I said, because many of the things we have in existence today, somebody somewhere decided to come up with it. Do you understand that? So your gift, your talent, and your potential is one of the power that God has given you. So you can sing, start thinking. Do you know that in the world that we live in right now, have you seen all kinds of useless music out there? And people are buying. Let me tell you something. In this world, even if you cough, people will buy. I'm telling you. Even if you cough, just go and cough. People will buy. Go to the studio and just start. Side one. Then go to the studio, turn it to the other side and start laughing. Side two. People will buy. You said, no, that's too ridiculous. What do you mean that's too ridiculous? People will buy. The ringtones on your phone, what is it? All kinds of useless sounds. And people are making millions. And yet you have it there. So don't tell me it's not possible. I know what I'm talking about. When you live here, Google it. Cindy Cashman. A woman wrote a book, empty book. Empty, nothing is inside. And became a millionaire in this same America. When you write it down, Cindy Cashman, this one is not taste by moonlight. I'm telling you raw. This is what I do for a living. So making money, I can teach you. Making money is not a difficult thing. I can show you. Sharp, sharp. You are rich. She did the cover. Everything that men know about women. And then inside, nothing is inside. Nothing. And she became a millionaire. Google it when you get back home. She became a millionaire. So can you cook? Can you sing? Can you dance? Can you speak? Can you organize? What are those things you have? What are those things that comes easy for you? Package it together. Let me give you one more. My time is up. Ideas. When God says, I've given you power to get wealth, it means I've given you the ideas to create wealth. 12 years ago, there was no Twitter. 12 years ago, there was no Facebook. Many years ago, there was no internet. But by somebody's idea, all the things have come. Now listen to something about ideas. Are you ready? Nobody owns the monopoly of an idea. Only those who capture and implement it become the inventors. I've traveled around the world, and there are things I have received by myself that nobody told me. And I've gone to places and I've heard exactly the same thing from people. And I'm wondering, where did this person get it from? But I know this thing. I thought I'm the only one that knows it. No, you are not the only one. Let me tell you something about ideas. Ideas are like rains of thoughts. When rain is falling in this city, everybody in this city is going to be touched by the rain. Now, are you ready? Ideas are like rains of thoughts. When it is coming, the same way you are receiving it, 10 million people are receiving it at the same time. So there is nothing like my idea. It is not yours until you implement it. Do you understand that? So when an idea comes, when a thought comes through your mind, don't tell yourself it's not possible. You have lost the idea. Don't tell yourself, I don't think anybody has ever done that before. That's why you should be the one. Let me ask you this question as I begin to wrap it up. Have you ever thought about something? It came to your mind, you thought about it, but you didn't do anything. And then few months later, you saw somebody else doing it. I maybe have felt that before. That's what ideas is everywhere. But that's one of the power God has given us. But we don't do anything about it. We just receive it, and some of us, we write it down. If you go back to your notes, your diary, if you are somebody that writes down, you will discover that some of the things that are happening now, you wrote it down 10 years ago. But you never did anything about it. And God will not wait for you and allow the whole world to be stranded because of your delay. So if you refuse to move, you will look for somebody else that is ready to move, and they will move. Rise upon your feet.